Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 415, the stanzas 7 and 10. Yea, the secret of Jehovah is with those who fear his name, with his friends in tender mercy, he his covenant will maintain. And what follows, Psalter 415, the 7th and the 10th stanza.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 1, the verses 35 through 51. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 1, beginning with verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee in thy great mercy that thou hast gathered us together by renewal on this Lord's Day. Then thy mercies have been multiplied, and therefore also the reason for thanking thee. And thou hast written in thy word, given thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, grant thy spirit to that end. Then we may thank thee for the precious gift wherein thy wisdom and in thy goodness, that thou wast set one of 7 days apart, that we may rest from our labors and tend especially to the needs of our never-dying soul. We may thank thee for the precious gift of thy word. So many upon the world that have not thy word, not the truth thereof, and great multitudes desire not the word. Lord, then thou yet granteth unto us and our children a place where we may come to worship, and that we may come so freely and unhindered. And in thy house thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. May that be experienced in special ways in this hour. Bless what was heard in this morning, and bless thy word in this evening hour. O wonder-doing God, may it please thee to convert sinners by thy irresistible grace. That thou may draw by the cords of love, because there is not one in our midst that can withstand the love of a triune God, our Lord. When that takes place, then the question shall be, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Remember thy children, how we have heard of wonderful things out of thy holy word. Oh, that there were those disciples that were given to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, 'tis the work of thy Spirit to make room in the hearts for that precious Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, Lord, do it then in this evening hour. We have heard of a Nathanael. Oh, that he was under the tree. And there was a people that many times seek out secluded places with all their questions, with all their riddles, with all their sins, where they may be given to beg of thee, also to rejoice in thee. But then Philip has come concerning thy dear son, and Nathanael had objections, and Lord, thou knowest all the objections there can be in the life of thy children, can even be that they have sinned too much and too long. The ways can be so mysterious. But then if Philip has said, come and see, Lord, may eyes be given to see in this very hour. Do bless the means of grace and the family circles, help fathers and mothers to that end. Bless thy word in the church, and bless thy word in our Christian school. Thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. We commend unto thee thy church all over the earth, the established congregations, with all those that labor therein. We commend unto thee the persecuted church. Ah, Lord, do uphold them. Can be those times when it seems that thou hearest them not, and that the enemy only becomes bolder and more cruel. But may their eyes be upon the King who has declared, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Remember thy church upon mission fields, also our mission field, and remember the beloved for the Father's sake. Lord, we commend unto thee a father and mother whom by renewal thou wast blessed with the birth of a little child. Do grant broken and humble hearts, also with the empty place where they were called upon to bring their firstborn to the cemetery. May it be a little child of many prayers. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them and gladden them in due time with thy deeds. We remember in this day a daughter, the blind daughter, that may commemorate another birthday. Then thou wast wonderfully spared. May it be for the purpose of all purposes. And it cannot be different at times, overwhelmed, that there are questions. Above all, Lord, the most important is that thou granteth unto us spiritual eyes that we may be given to experience and see divine realities and come to a knowledge of the dear Son of God. So we commend her unto thee for body and soul, with her parents and all those that are near and dear unto them, and also with the empty place in that family circle. A husband and wife, father and mother with their family, hope to commemorate 25 years of marriage, where thou wast spared, where thou wast cared, where thou hast protected. They may raise an Ebenezer. Grant humble and thankful hearts. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones in our midst, O Lord, that they not become overcome with overmuch grief and sorrow. And also in the day of tomorrow, do help and do remember them. Remember all of our elderly ones, the care home with those that may care for them, those that may still dwell in their dwellings. And then in this week, an old wife and mother hopes to commemorate 86 years. Recently she has been in the hospital. She may return from the hospital. And also on each birthday, then there is a year of grace subtracted from our lives. Then we commend her unto thee with her dear husband, where the infirmities are increasing for body and for soul. Lord, we lay before thee all the sick and all the afflicted ones. There are many. The concerns are serious. We commend each and every one unto thee. We may humbly ask thee that the means may be blessed, the calling sanctified, when they become too overwhelmed to continue. May they tell thee all, asking thee for thy help and for thy strength. May they be given to open thy word. We remember the handicapped ones, the crosses, the burdens, those that struggle with addictions and temptations, all with thy help. May thou set them free. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters that have left us, seeking it elsewhere. 'Tis not the ordinary way, Lord, but for thee there is nothing impossible. May they also be bound upon the hearts and laid before thee, and that for the glory of thy great and thy worthy name, O Lord. Do keep our dear youth and the older ones under the old truth and the old ways, and above all, by thy Spirit, be given to experience those ways, because then we love that truth, then we are willing to sacrifice for it. And we have heard out of thy word of those disciples that they were given to follow thee, they had still much to learn. We now humbly beg of thee, Lord, for thy gracious help in speaking and in listening, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 243, the first five stanzas. In vision to his saints, God spake. From out the people, one I take. A mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. And what follows, Psalter 243, the first five stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 6, the question and answer 16 through 19. Question 16, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question 17, why must he in one person be also very God? Answer, that he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Question 18, who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? Answer, from the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly, has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Lord's Day number 6 speaks of the revelation of the mediator. With 4 thoughts, the mediator's humanity, secondly, the mediator's divinity, thirdly, the mediator's person, and in the 4th place, the mediator's gospel. The revelation of the mediator, first, the mediator's humanity, boys and girls, that means that he was man. The mediator's divinity, that he was very God. The mediator's person, and the mediator's gospel. Beloved congregation, we have heard in the last question of Lord's Day number 5, what sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Have we become a seeker congregation? Have we now become a seeker of the living God? With the Lord's love shed abroad in our heart, profound impressions of the attributes of that great and majestic God, uncovered to our sin, and that is a people that cannot miss the Lord. then we have heard profound truths. And those are the truths that the Spirit teaches His people, that the Lord is so holy, so perfect, and so righteous that He must punish each of our sins, and that I learned that I am such a sinner. And yet that is a sinner on account of that love that cannot miss the Lord, and that is seeking for a solution. And then in the life of God's people, then we must make a distinction when the Lord begins that good work. Then we have not a distinguishing knowledge of the Trinity. Then we have to do with the Lord. But now when the Lord may instruct further, oh, out of the Scriptures, we have heard of wonderful things. A John and an Andrew on the second day of the preaching of John the Baptist after Christ has returned from the temptation in the wilderness. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. O congregation, what a precious gospel that declares that no one needs to despair, but we need to be wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. And what has then happened? Then John and Andrew, they have followed Jesus. And then what a blessing that Jesus has turned around. What seekest thou? Where dwellest thou? And then they have dwelt with him. Then they have come with all their questions and with all their riddles. And John has testified in his gospel that it was the 10th hour. We have heard of a Nathanael under that fig tree. Are there such souls that understand it? Times in seclusion with their God, with their Bible, with many prayers, with many riddles, with many questions, and with the burden of sin. And then what does a child of God need? They need light, and they need instruction. And then Philip was used as an instrument in the Lord's hand to find Nathanael. We have found the Messiah. Oh, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And then Philip, then he received the wisdom from above. Come and see. Oh, what a precious word for those seeking souls. And now in this Lord's Day, we have the revelation of the mediator. In Lord's Day number 5, then there was a door opened in the valley of Achor concerning that mediator. And now we may see it in Lord's Day number 6, that the sun is given to rise. We read in Malachi 4 verse 2, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And now this Lord's Day speaks of a mediator. What is now a mediator, boys and girls? That is one that stands in between two parties that have quarrels, that are fighting, to bring them together can even be family circles, that there are children. And let us not use the word fighting. It's not good. But no perfection, that children in a family, that they can have their quarrels and their squabbles, and when they are not solved, that father and mother, they need to come in between as a mediator to solve the quarrel. And now, what are some requisites of a mediator? Then in the first place, then a mediator needs to be able to speak and to relate to both parties. Our boys and girls can even understand. Let's say we have two men that have come in disagreement, and let's say they both speak English, and then if you would have a mediator that could only speak Dutch, that would not work. Then further, then that mediator may not be biased. If he was a friend of the one, then the other one say that is not fair, because he is going to choose the side of his friend. And then a mediator must also be willing to be that mediator. And so in this Lord's Day, then the instructors are given to speak what is necessary for a mediator, because our boys and girls can understand that when we speak of a mediator to bring two together, that on the one side is that holy and majestic God against whom we have sinned so grievously, and on the other side is a poor sinner. And Job, in Job 9 verse 2, then he is asked the question, how can man be just with God? And then in verse 33, then he was given to speak of a daysman that may lay his hands upon both. We have different examples in the Bible of those that have been mediators between the children of men and God. Oh, in Genesis 18, then Abram was, as it were, a mediator of intercession between God and that wicked city of Sodom. And then, boys and girls, you can remember that in Genesis 44, when the silver cup was found in the sack of Benjamin, and when they have returned to Joseph, and that Joseph has declared that Benjamin must remain behind, then a Judah, and then he was a mediator of intercession, but also of reconciliation, where he has offered himself to take the place of Benjamin. We could speak of Moses in Exodus 32, after the children of Israel have made that golden calf, then Moses went up to the mountain, and then he has pleaded, oh, begged the Lord, that the Lord may not destroy that people, but that the Lord may lead him into the promised land. In Numbers, in the book of Numbers, then we have an Aaron, when the plague is broken out, that we read specifically that he stood between the living and between the dead. Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Thus, in that question, there are 2 points. The first point is, why must the mediator between God and man be very man? And then the answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. Thus then it is declared the same nature that is summoned with the body and with the soul. So that means our children can understand it, that the angels could not be a mediator. They are spirits, but they have not a body. It is true. In the Bible we read, when they appeared, then oftentimes they took upon them the body of a cherubim. But the angels are spirits. And last time we have stated, although all the animals, oh, what a blood has flowed in the Old Testament, that by renewal, that did not satisfy justice, but that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. Then further, then the mediator had to fulfill all the types and the sacrifices in the Old Testament. And the mediator must be the seed of the woman, the mother promise, we call it. Genesis 3 verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And then the victory was declared further, the seed of Abram, as we read in Genesis 12, and also of the house of David. And then further, then the mediator needed a human nature that he may perfectly obey the holy law of God for his children. And then further, then the mediator needed to have a body and soul that he may suffer in the same. And finally, that for the church, that he may be their sympathizing high priest. We read thereof in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all things tempted as we are, sin excepted. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy in the time of need. Oh, the great shepherd. He has become the lamb. He was sacrificed. But then not only very man, but why must Jesus also be perfectly righteous? And I think that the children can give the answer. Why must the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, why must he be perfect, that he would never sin in thought and word and indeed? Think, boys and girls, you know the answer. Because if Jesus had now committed one sin, then he would have to suffer and die for his own sins, and he could not pay for the sins of his people. To give a simple example, there was now a man that had $100,000 debt, which he could not pay. And there was another man that was willing to help that man, but let's say he had $1 million of debt. Then that man with $1 million of debt could not help that other man. Thus the church needs a mediator that is able and that is also willing. Oh, that willingness is already declared in the Council of Peace. In Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Our second thought, the mediator's divinity. That means boys and girls. Why must the mediator not only be man, but that he must also be God? And then we read, and then also in question 17, there are two points. Why must he in one person be also very God? And now concerning the mediator, the necessity to be also God, that he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath. Do you remember last week, congregation, that we have heard that no human nature is able to sustain the eternal wrath of that just and almighty God? Have you pondered over it, congregation? Have you thought about it? And have you told the Lord? You have said, Lord, have now heard that no human nature can sustain the burden of thy wrath, and I am still unconverted. And Lord, if it remains that way, then I shall have to in hell and not be able. Ach, Lord, wilt thou begin that good work today? Wilt thou convert me as thou hast converted all thy people? I may have a place, even as the smallest lamb. As our children understand it, that the smallest lamb is part of the flock as the good shepherd, just as much as a bigger sheep. How many times those little lambs under the fig tree, they shall experience those special tokens of the Lord's favor. But now what a rich instruction. And for the child of God to be instructed in those truths, therein lies their comfort and therein lies their joy. Thus in the first place, the mediator must be divine to sustain the wrath of God. And then secondly, in a short time, to be able to merit salvation for his church. In the third place, the mediator must be divine, that he may rise again to be that living mediator, to gather his church by word and by spirit from among all nations of the earth, among young and old. Then further, then the mediator needed to be divine, that he may defeat, as we have mentioned, out of Genesis 3 verse 15, the devil, but also the world and the flesh, and that he may defend his church and at last to take them home. Concerning those two natures, then they needed to be united in one person. And we can understand, if he was not a righteous man, then that holy divine nature could never be united to the same. Concerning that mystery, many places spoken thereof, even in the Old Testament. What we think of the evangelist of the Old Testament, many times Isaiah is called the evangelist of the Old Testament. Then in Isaiah 7 verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. That is declared in this Lord's Day. Oh, the revelation of that precious Emmanuel. And think of Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Maybe our children can understand it. A son is given, a child is born. Then the child speaks of his human nature, and the son that speaks of his divinity. And now concerning that union, that was beautiful, typified in the brazen altar of burnt offerings. Was the altar, children, when we would enter the court, that would be the first thing we see. That brazen altar with the wood. And it is written in the Bible that that fire must always burn. And that points to the justice of God. And now it is described that that altar was made of shittim wood. And if that wood was not covered, boys and girls, you must think along. Then when that wood was laid on that altar with the fire, what would now happen with that altar? Then you shall say it would burn up. And that is correct. And to that end, that whole altar was covered with brass. And then with the fire burning, then that wood would become warm and hot. But because of the covering of brass, then that altar would not be burnt up. And that is now a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Thus then in that answer, then we have two matters. In the first place, the mediator needed to obtain in his passive obedience that he suffered and died, that he would pay the price, that he would merit righteousness, but also to restore, and that is in the way of application. Let us first sing. Psalter 161, the five stanzas. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior he is proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. And what follows, Psalter 161, the five stanzas.
Thank you.
the revelation of the mediator. The mediator's humanity, the mediator's divinity, and now in the third place, the mediator's person. And then we have a question of an anxious soul. That is a soul that has received hope, but a soul that needs a solution, a soul that needs a mediator, a soul that needs the pardoning of their sins. That is an anxious soul. As I read in the parable in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46 of a merchantman that was dealing with goodly pearls. Oh, he has found many, given to rejoice, similar to those daughters of Jerusalem in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Ah, those daughters, they were searching on the streets. And then the bride has met them. Ah, they have found one another. Because the bride has also been a daughter. And those brides with sweetness can think of all those goodly pearls. And then the bride, because of her backsliding, then she is asked the help of those daughters to find her beloved. And then those daughters, they have asked, careful not to tell much, too much of their own heart, but they have asked that bride, what is thy beloved more than other beloveds? And then the bride was given to declare in verse 10, my beloved is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. And then we read in the parable of the merchantman that he was given to trade all those goodly pearls when he has found a pearl of great price. And that is declared in this Lord's Day. An anxious soul, ah, then it was that the student is given to say, you have been given to explain the requisites of a mediator that I need. And that way you are telling me that there is such a one that is mighty to save, that can save to the uttermost. Then in those requisites thou hast declared that such a mediator can save the greatest of sinners, that he can even save me. We find a similar matter in the life of that woman in Mark 5 with the issue of blood. Simply stated, when she heard of Jesus, and how the instructors, oh, in this Lord's Day, it is declared, behold, the Lamb of God. Who then is that mediator? Who in one person is both very God and a real righteous man? Answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. all congregation, then there is not one in this evening that can say it is impossible for me, but needs to be learned in an experiential way. We need to become a seeker. The Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that means possessor, that means owner. Jesus means Savior, because I read in Matthew 1 verse 21 that He has come to save His people from their sins. And Christ means anointed by the Holy Spirit to that threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. And Peter has written to the church in 1 Peter 2 verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. And those names, they are explained further in the Catechism and Lord's Day number 11, 12, and 13. And then to declare the preciousness and the suitability of this mediator, then the instructors have quoted out of 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Thus first, who of God is made, was appointed by God the Father already in eternity and qualified by the Holy Spirit in His human nature in the fullness of time. And then how precious, how suitable, how it all fits the needs of those seeking souls. First, is made unto us wisdom. When the Lord works, they come on the school of Jesus. And there Jesus is prophet. He instructs them from step to step, uncovers them to their need, but also the revelation of this Lord's Day. And congregation, let there not be rest. It is true, the Lord grants unto His children those Elims, and there are times such special tokens of His favor, and so overshadowed by His love, that they may sing and praise, but the necessity, the true work of the Spirit is to bring to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And now in the instruction, then secondly, and righteousness. That is what those true seekers need. It's what they are seeking for. The pardoning of their sins and to be restored into that blessed favor. And further, and sanctification, thus not only to need Him as prophet and priest, but to desire Him as king when the Lord works, then we are given to make that good choice of a Ruth. Separated shall be seen. Christ is spoken thereof at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. By their fruit ye shall know them. Thus those first 3 points, matters that are mentioned in this text. Wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, they refer to the image of God. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness that we have lost, and the mediator restores, and redemption. Our last thought, the mediator's gospel. Whence knowest thou this? Then the soul needs the assurance that it is true. And then the instructors have answered from the Holy Gospel. We read that word gospel 98 times in the Bible. And that word means the good news of redemption through Jesus Christ. Of course, not excluding the Father and the Holy Ghost. Think of John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Thus then the instructors are given to speak of the Word of God, declared in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New, when Christ has come in the fullness of time and fulfilled all the prophecies and all the types. Thus the importance of the Word of God. Those are the means which the Lord has appointed to gather and to instruct this church. And let us remember that the diligent use of the means of grace shall not be without fruit. The Lord has promised to bless the same. And to that end, the necessity that we and our children, that we are given to faithfully to use those means, prayerfully, begging the Lord for His blessing, and that by the grace of God, that we may experience the wonderful things of the Lord. What a precious revelation, young and old. What does it mean to us? May we be spared from hardening our hearts, going into the world, grieving the Spirit. Do we still have impressions, young and old? Oh, boys and girls. Ah, how loudly the Lord has spoken also to you by death. Oh, ask the Lord that He may convert you early, young people. Do beg the Lord for that work of grace in your young hearts to be given to make that precious choice. Older ones, time is quickly continuing each week, a week closer to eternity. May I ask you, how is it with your sins? Because our sins need to be pardoned. Shall it be well? Oh, with convictions, a privilege, a blessing. But where do those convictions bring us? The true work of the Spirit. Read thereof in John 16. That the true work of the Spirit is Because when we can rest on our convictions or matters that have taken place many years ago, then we may earnestly search our hearts, because the Lord is not a land of outer darkness. It is true. The Lord is free. But it is now the work of the Spirit to keep that people as seekers and to not give them continual rest till they may come to a knowledge of the precious Lamb of God. And the day of tomorrow, a day has been set aside, a day of thanksgiving. The Lord bring us together. He grant a prayer for His blessing and for His presence. May we be given to ask for broken and humble hearts, and the Lord remember the mourning ones, the afflicted and tried ones. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may thank Thee for another Lord's Day, and that we could come up to Thy house. Oh, do work lovingly, irresistibly by Thy Spirit to bring many a sinner to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, and to further instruct Thy people. Well, to bring us safely to our homes and bring us up to Thy house. 'Tis a day of thanksgiving. Ah, Lord, may we be administered out of Thy fullness. Remember from the youngest to the oldest, we commend unto Thee a young couple who were united in holy matrimony in this past week. Shall be their first Thanksgiving Day together. Make it special for them. By renewal we commend unto Thee all the mourning ones, the sick, afflicted, the tried ones. Lord, for them, a Thanksgiving Day. But wilt Thou yet grant a little brokenness of heart, and that they may still be given to see all the blessings and the good things which Thou hast left in their midst. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 60, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Show me Thy paths, O Lord. Teach me Thy perfect way. O guide me in Thy truth divine, and lead me day by day. And what follows, Psalter 60, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.